Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are at the end of our week together, going through just a few very, very powerful verses in Romans 15. And as we've begun reading these, the Holy Spirit has just been speaking into our hearts about how we're to love our neighbor, about how we're to walk in holiness, about how we're to not seek our own pleasure, about how we're not supposed to seek our own good, about how we're supposed to seek the good of others. And it's been challenging, but it's also been exciting. And I'm hoping that if you haven't been with us, you'll go back and listen to the episodes that we've had, because really, I think at the end of each episode, the Lord has given us something very practical to think of, to say, actually, how can I better bear people's weaknesses? Lord, show me places in my heart that my pride is not allowing me to bear the weaknesses of others. Where can I have deeper compassion? Where am I looking to constantly seek my own good? Where am I looking to constantly please myself? And then asking the question, because we had that challenging verse, let each of us please his neighbor for his good. I don't know about you, but sometimes we want to please our neighbor for our own good, because it's so hard not to just think of our own good. Please our neighbor for our neighbor's good. So what is our neighbor's good? What does that look like? What is the good of our neighbor? And to actually define that and say, okay, how do we edify? Yesterday we left off and we talked about edifying, to looking at whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever is pure, and to speak on those things. And that is, like, I encourage you, I want to start taking around a little index card with that verse, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is holy, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, and just like put my hand in my pocket and touch it when I'm like thinking of gossiping, or when I'm like having a hard time having compassion, or when something is going to come out of my mouth, or when I'm going to do an action that's more about me than about another person, to just remind myself, is this worthy of praise? Is this godly? And that's so, so convicting. And so we're going to continue on. We're going to wrap up the last couple verses. That's in Romans 15 here. And we began talking yesterday about this reality that Jesus did not please himself. But what did Christ do? He became obedient to death. And we're going to pick up there today and just kind of go through the rest of the verses that we've been reading and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and really leave this week, friends, built up. Yesterday, we talked about that analogy that, you know, rocks that are in a pocket and going around a pocket, they rub up against each other so they smooth out the rough edges, and how honestly, the Catholic Church, Christian community, we're basically just like a bunch of rocks in God's pocket. You know, we're jagged around the edges. He throws us in there and we're just walking with him and we're smoothing each other out. And that's what this project is. And sometimes it hurts and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we're like, wow, look at how jagged I am. Or we're like, look at how jagged that person is. And sometimes we're like, man, look how smooth I'm getting. You know, we get those moments of grace. But one of the things that was so encouraging to me, because I don't want you to leave this week with discouragement, I want you to walk into this weekend with encouragement to say, you know, I'm empowered to love. I'm empowered to put my neighbor first. I'm empowered to be a person that edifies. That's how God sees me. A person that edifies, a person of compassion. And Mother Teresa, she always had this line of saying, the closer that we get to God, it's like when we're driving and we're coming closer to the sun is shining on the front windshield. And when the sun is shining through the front windshield, you see everything in the windshield because the sun illuminates. It illuminates all the places where like a dead bug has come and like hit the windshield. It illuminates the cracks. And in the light of the sun, you see how dirty the windshield really is. And so it's like not a discouraging thing, but to say, the closer that we get to God and his light shines on us, we love him more and we also see more and more how we're not like him. And so even though we are growing in holiness, we often don't feel it because we're like, wow, like I'm so not like God. But God isn't calling us, friends, to measure our path. He's calling us to just show up every day and say, God, help me. Give me grace again. Give me grace again. Give me grace again. It's about relying on him. It's about dependence on him. It's about humility and it's about growing in love. And so that is what We do. We continue to walk in that, even if the sun is shining on us and we're like, look at how many cracks. And maybe that's what this has been doing for you this week. So we're going to pray, and then let's read the rest of our scripture and finish off our week together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, shine your light on us. We welcome your light. We welcome your illuminating light, the light of your warmth, the light of your truth. We welcome it right now. Come, Lord Jesus, illuminate our hearts with your love. We ask that you would encourage us, empower us, pour out your delight upon us in a particular way, Lord, that we may see ourselves as you see us, as good, as holy, as righteous, so that we may actually walk as you've created us to walk. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to start with verse 3 here, 15 verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fall on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So we left off at this place. That Jesus did not please himself. And we know he definitely did not please himself because he died on the cross. And it says he did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This is from Psalm 69. For zeal of your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. St. Paul applies this psalm about David to Christ, saying Jesus bore insults, hostility that were meant for God. He entered into human rejection and sin's consequences. He didn't live to please man. There are so many people that love Jesus, and there are so many people that hated him. They killed him. They mocked him. They crucified him. He didn't live for self-pleasing, but he lived for the pleasure of God, that God would be glorified. And here's the reality. Sometimes when God is glorified in our lives, people despise us and reject us. That is why we have to model our lives on whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever Jesus did, not on how we feel in the response that we get. We don't know if we're choosing someone's good based on if they respond positively to us. So Jesus took on reproach. And I love this. It says, whatever was written in former days, right? Because he's quoting the Psalms, was written for our instruction. Everything in the Word of God was written for our instruction. That by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We've talked about steadfastness a lot on this show. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, that you're supposed to supplement faith with steadfastness. What is steadfastness? It's that endurance. It's that keep going, being firm, faithful, and unshaken, staying faithful and constant without giving up. So he's saying whatever was written in the former days for our instruction, that by staying faithful and not giving up, and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So in what we're reading now, as we read the scriptures are giving us encouragement. And part of that encouragement is being steadfast. So he's saying, Paul's saying, if you endure, if you stay faithful, if you keep going and you take in the encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope. You will have hope. What will have hope bubble up in you if you keep going? Keep your nose to the ground. Don't give up. Walk with the Lord. Be faithful. Be faithful. That the God of steadfastness and encouragement may grant you to live in harmony with each other. Right? So we're taking in the encouragement of the scriptures. We're walking in steadfastness. And then hope begins to bubble up in us. And then God, right? He's saying, you don't have to just stay steadfast on your own, but God is a God of steadfastness and encouragement. God stays faithful to you. And maybe that's the thing that you need to hear to keep going, is that God has not given up on you. God stays faithful to you. He's steadfast. He never leaves. He endures with you in your hardest moments. He remains loyal to you. He perseveres in faith. He's not moved away from truth or from love. He stays constant. That's who he is. And he's also a God of encouragement. We talked about this last week. God wants you to win. Think of the person that's most encouraging in your life. For that, one of the people that's most encouraging in my life is my dad. He's always encouraging. He's always positive. He's always like, you got this. You can do it. He's always seeing the glass half full. God sees the glass half full because he knows the end of the story, right? God encourages. He's not a God of condemnation. So he's saying then the God of steadfastness, the God who never leaves, and the God who is building you up. If we're living alongside that God, he says, may grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. So we can only live our unity with one another, our harmony with one another. And it's funny because it's like unity and harmony in the body of Christ really matters to God. Sins against unity really matter to God. And we have to repent of those things. And what matters to God needs to matter to us. But oftentimes we don't hear about sins against unity. And he's saying you need to live in unity with Christ Jesus. And if we live in unity with Christ Jesus, we'll live in harmony with one another. And then that God, you need to be steadfast. You need to be encouraging. But you get that from living with a God who is steadfast and who is encouraging. Why? So you may live in harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we walk in unity? Why do we want to? So that together, with one voice, we may glorify God. Have you ever heard like a really bad choir who's trying to do like different vocal parts, but it's like they're not hitting it, and they're supposed to like blend like an amazing choir, an unbelievable choir. Like, you've ever heard one of those like young boys choirs and you're like, oh my gosh, these voices are so high. And you're like, oh, that's because it's prepubescent boys from Austria. You know, they're able to sing at like somehow the highest note you've ever heard in your life. But their voices blend in this insane way. And so there's different levels, but they're coming together in one voice. And when it's a bad choir, it's all these voices either singing out of key, or there's like the one person that's like trying to sing like Britney Spears or trying to sing like Whitney Houston. And you're like, this is a choir. We're trying to blend, right? And what does it do? It defeats the whole purpose of the choir, which is to deliver a beautiful song, a beautiful message for those who are hearing. And it's just like the body of Christ, when we're trying to outdo each other, when we're not walking in harmony, when we're not walking in unity, the world receives disjointed messages. But when we're in harmony, we're able to glorify God as one. And they're saying, wow, look at the church. Wow, look at the Christians. And so, friends, we want to ask God, God, give us an experience of your steadfastness and your encouragement, so that we may live in that, so we can glorify you with our unity. Thank you so much for joining me this week. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.